If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to That AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. It's Tuesday, October 22nd, 2025. Today, the AI war is escalating on multiple fronts. OpenAI just launched Atlas, its entry into the browser and search wars, intensifying the battle for user data and distribution. Meanwhile, Amazon is leaning heavily into robotic warehouse automation, planning to replace over 600,000 workers, a massive data point for every COO focused on the automation ceiling. We'll also cover the critical tension between capability and compliance. YouTube is quietly arming creators with deepfake radar to handle the Hollywood backlash, while Anthropic weighs in on the urgent need for AI regulation. Plus, we've got the latest on the MLK deepfake scandal and why the AI search battle is heating up. But first, a direct message to AI infrastructure companies. Stop marketing to the general public. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. But are you reaching the right 1%? AI Unraveled is the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOPs heads, who need production-ready solutions like yours. We have reserved a limited number of high-impact mid-roll ad spots. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Don't wait for the competition. Secure your high-impact package immediately. Secure your mid-roll spot. Links are in the show notes. Finally, in our AIX breaking news segment, we break down the AWS outage and what it taught us about centralized inference resilience, plus the AI angle on the NBA opening night, and how deep learning is spotting ultra-faint objects like NASA's new quasi-moon, 2025 PN7. It's a massive day for operational risk and competitive maneuvering. Don't miss a second. Please like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss your daily briefing.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really tackling the AI fire hose. Just a massive amount of critical stuff dropped on one day, October 22, 2025.
Yeah, it was quite a day. And what's striking is how it shows AI pushing into totally new market battlegrounds, you know, browsers, coding.
Right.
But at the same time, we're seeing these huge societal questions bubble up. Labor, regulation, even like what our digital identity means.
It's a strange mix, isn't it? All this innovation, but then you see something like the big Amazon outage.
Exactly. That's the paradox. It really highlights how fragile some of the core infrastructure still is.
Yeah.
Highly centralized.
So what exactly happened there? It hit a lot of big services.
Well, the core issue was DNS resolution, basically the system's address book, failing for their DynamoDB database service. Mm. Specifically in US East 1, the big Northern Virginia region.
Ah, US East 1. Always US East 1.
Right. And because so many services rely on it, you saw these cascading failures. Coinbase, Zoom, even Amazon's own Ring cameras went down. It just shows you how dependent we are on these centralized points.
So even as the cloud foundations were literally shaking, the product wars just kept going full tilt. Let's talk about the browser. OpenAI jumping in with Atlas.
Yeah, a major move built with ChatGPT at its core, as they put it. Sam Altman said AI offers this like rare once-a-decade opportunity to rethink what a browser can be.
A rethink. Okay, so what makes Atlas different? It's not just another browser with a chatbot tacked on, is it?
No, they're aiming for something more fundamental. It launched first for macOS, all the tiers, free up to Pro, Go,
yeah.
Beta for business users too.
And the features. What's the actual rethink part?
Okay, so there are two big things. Personalization and automation. They have this optional memories feature. ChatGPT can remember details from sites you visit.
Login details or preferences.
Yeah, preferences, maybe settings you chose on different sites. The idea is it learns over time to personalize things and automate routine stuff for you.
Okay, that's interesting. But the big one seems to be agent mode. That's only for Plus and Pro users.
Right. And that is the potential game changer. It lets ChatGPT actually click around and complete tasks for you within the browser.
Whoa. Okay, like what kind of tasks?
Well, imagine telling it, hey, book that same flight I took last month, or update my profile on this site, and it just does it.
autonomously.
Supposedly, yes.
Yeah.
Within Atlas. Now, they say there are safety guardrails, you know, to stop it accessing bank accounts or downloading malware without permission.
You'd hope so.
But the potential for automated shopping, complex bookings, data gathering, it's huge. It's basically giving the AI the keys to your online activity.
Which immediately puts them head to head with others, right? Like Perplexity.
Absolutely. Perplexity launched their Comet browser. They have those background assistants. They're definitely a challenger.
But the elephant in the room is Google.
Oh, for sure. Google search is the giant. Mm-hmm. And Alphabet's stock actually took a hit when Atlas was announced.
And there's data to back up that threat, isn't there? Something about shared users.
Yeah, it was striking. Nearly 14% of Google's visitors in September also visited ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. OpenAI already has this massive, engaged mm-hmm. user base. Mm-hmm. Now they're giving them a dedicated browser.
Meanwhile, Anthropic didn't just sit back. They made a move in the developer space.
Right, a counterpunch. They took their Claude Code Assistant, which was command line based, you know, CLI, mm-hmm. and launched a proper web app for it for their Pro and Mac subscribers.
What's the significance of that, making it a web app?
It makes it much easier for developers to create and manage these autonomous AI coding agents yeah. right there in browser. It's Anthropic saying, okay, maybe we don't win the main browser war, but we can fight for the developers for the code war, giving them powerful tools outside the old terminal window.
Okay, let's shift gears from the digital world of browsers to the very physical world of warehouses, Amazon.
Mm. This is a big one. Reports came out about this massive push for robotics for automation.
And the goal was stunning. Avoid hiring. What was the number?
An estimated 600,000 U.S. workers by 2033.
600,000? That's not just efficiency. That's a fundamental workforce shift.
It's driven entirely by cost savings. They figure automating saves about 30 cents per item sold.
Which adds up fast for Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Projected to total $12.6 billion just between 2025 and 2027. Their aim is to automate 75% of operations. Some projections showed maybe 160,000 roles gone by 2027.
And here's the really interesting part, the language they're using internally.
Right, the internal comms. Mm-hmm. Executives were apparently advised not to use words like automation or AI.
Instead, they should use
phrases like advanced technology or the term cobot.
Cobot, collaborative robot.
Exactly. It's, let's call it semantic maneuvering. They want the billions in savings from cutting jobs.
Without the bad press that comes with saying we're automating away your jobs.
Precisely. Cobot sounds collaborative, like augmentation, not replacement. It helps them quietly roll out this pretty radical change.
And it's not just Amazon, is it? We're seeing this pattern elsewhere.
Absolutely. You mentioned Lufthansa cutting 4,000 admin roles, Klarna, Salesforce. They've both cut staff and explicitly cited AI efficiencies. Accenture letting go of people who couldn't be reskilled. It's a broad trend. But the sheer scale of the Amazon plan really underscores the immediacy of it.
So jobs are under pressure, but so is, well, identity itself.
Yeah.
In this age of deepfakes.
Yeah, the rise of generative AI, synthetic media, it's forcing platforms to react, like YouTube.
What did YouTube do?
They quietly rolled out this AI tool, likeness detection, specifically for creators in their partner program.
Likeness detection, so it spots your face.
Your face and your voice.
Right.
Whether it's real footage or synthetically generated, it expands their big content ID system.
Which was originally for copyright, right? Yeah. Music and video clips.
Exactly. Now they're extending it to protect personal likeness. It's a pretty clear signal that, you know, identity is becoming the next copyright. Creators can find unauthorized uses and ask for takedowns.
And the companies making these generative tools, they're feeling the heat too.
Definitely. Look at OpenAI with Sora, their video model.
Hmm.
There was that incident with the AI image of Bryan Cranston.
Ah, yeah. SAG-AFTRA got involved.
Right. So OpenAI came out with new Sora policies. They're promising stronger guardrails. And crucially, they're giving artists the specific right to say yes or no to having their likeness simulated by the AI.
Okay. So all this rapid tech growth, the job impacts, the identity issues, it inevitably leads to questions about rules, regulation.
Which brings us to what you called the regulatory catfight.
Yeah, it really feels like one. The tension is palpable. Anthropic's CEO, Dario Amodei, actually put out a statement pushing back against claims about their stance.
And those claims came from a pretty prominent VC, David Sachs. He basically accused Anthropic of regulatory capture based on fear-mongering.
Meaning what exactly? That they're trying to shape rules to benefit themselves.
Yeah, the implication was that Anthropic wants regulations that are really burdensome for smaller startups to comply with,
yeah.
effectively creating a barrier to entry that protects the established players like them.
But Amodei pushed back.
He did. He argued that actually startups are really important customers for them, and that their policy positions align with even the Trump administration on some key things.
Hmm. But you have to look at the specific policies they supported, right? Or
that's where the nuance is. Yeah. They backed California's SB 53. It requires large AI developers to implement pretty hefty safety protocols.
But there's always a but.
But it includes an exemption for companies with under $500 million in revenue.
Ah, so the critics say that threshold is the key.
Exactly. The argument is that $500 million cutoff means startups who need to be nimble suddenly face these big compliance costs, audits, safety checks that only the giants can easily absorb. It acts like a regulatory moat protecting the incumbents.
So these big labs, they're walking a tightrope.
A really difficult one. They need to talk about safety and ethics publicly.
While also chasing massive government deals, like that $200 million defense contract Anthropic got.
Right. And simultaneously trying to influence policy in a way that secures their market advantage, AI policy is clearly becoming very political very quickly.
Okay, amidst all this market chaos and political maneuvering, there are still these genuinely incredible, life-altering breakthroughs happening. Let's talk reproductive genetics.
Yes. Nucleus Genomics launched Origin AI. It's a suite that analyzes embryonic DNA.
For predicting disease risk.
Exactly. With really impressive claimed accuracy. It scans something like 7 million genetic markers trained on data from 1.5 million people.
Wow. And what conditions can it predict?
9 major ones listed, including Alzheimer's, breast and prostate cancers, type 1 and 2 diabetes. They claim it can reduce the lifetime disease risk for the selected embryo by over 50%.
That's profound, but it immediately brings up the access question.
Mm-hmm. The cost. Their IVF Plus package starts at $30,000.
$30,000. Okay. So clearly not accessible for most people.
No. And that's the immediate ethical debate, isn't it? A potentially huge medical advance, but initially only for the wealthy.
Is there any counterpoint to that?
Well, interestingly, Nucleus is also open sourcing the underlying technology.
Right.
It's apparently the first open weight system in this specific sector.
Open sourcing it so other researchers could use it?
That seems to be the idea.
Yeah.
While their direct service is expensive, releasing the algorithms could eventually lead to broader research and maybe more accessible predictive tools down the line. It's a bit of a contradiction.
From the very start of life to restoring sight, there was also news about an AI eye implant.
Yes, for age-related macular degeneration, or AMD.
This sounds like pure science fiction. A tiny implant. How does it work?
Okay, so it's a tiny photovoltaic implant on the retina. It receives images beamed wirelessly from special smart glasses.
Beamed how?
Using near-infrared light. That light powers the implant and tells it how to send electrical signals directly to the optic nerve, bypassing the damaged points of the retina. No wires needed.
That's incredible. And the results? Did it actually work in trials?
The results reported were pretty remarkable. In one trial, 26 out of 32 participants, after a year, could actually read books and do crossword puzzles again.
Wow. Even if it's not perfect vision, the source has mentioned it's blurry black and white.
Still, going from severe vision loss to being able to read print again, that's life-changing. It's interesting, too, that tech was actually acquired by a science corporation.
That's Max Hodak's company, right? The Neuralink co-founder.
That's one. They picked it up after the original developer ran out of funding.
So these are the headline-grabbing breakthroughs, but AI is also just becoming background noise almost, integrated everywhere.
Completely. You see it constantly now in the background operations of so many fields. In science, for example, these machine learning pipelines are now routinely finding things like super faint asteroids, that quasi-moon 2025 PN7, was found that way.
And finance. You mentioned models reading news.
Yeah, commodity trading desks are using AI models that analyze news sentiment, classify macroeconomic conditions, all to help price things like gold in real time.
And stock markets.
Absolutely. LLMs are parsing company earnings reports the second they drop, faster than any human analyst could. They're shaping market sentiment, potentially causing big swings for stocks like, say, Netflix almost instantly.
Even sports and media aren't immune.
Nope. LLM explainers popping up during NBA games, generating those little why this matters captions on the fly. And your social media feeds. They're using AI to personalize highlight reels from the same game. So you and I could watch the same match, but see totally different highlight packages afterwards.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, it was one day, October 22nd, but it covered so much ground.
Intense competition with Atlas entering the browser wars.
These really deep, almost existential fears about labor. with that Amazon plan for 600,000 jobs.
And yet also these moments of incredible hope. Predictive genetics, restoring sight with AI implants.
I think the defining thing really is that growing gap. The technology is moving at lightning speed.
And our ability to understand, control, or regulate it just can't keep up.
Exactly. We're having debates about who should write safety rules at the exact same time that scientists are making breakthroughs in editing life itself, and companies are fundamentally redesigning the workforce.
It's dizzying.
It really is. Which leads to maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. We talked about Amazon planning to replace hundreds of thousands of workers, saving billions, but also advising executives to avoid the word automation and use softer terms like COBAT or advanced technology.
Right, the linguistic shift.
So the question is, does using that kind of jargon actually succeed in masking the profound impact these changes have? Or is it just sort of an implicit admission that the unvarnished truth of what's happening is simply too disruptive, maybe too frightening, to state plainly?
Something to think about the next time you hear a new buzzword for what sounds a lot like automation. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the sources.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.